Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. I am the G-Man. That is Deb. And here you are with us on a Thursday night.
Yay.
Right. Go out and check out. You're going to hear my dogs. We didn't put the dogs up tonight because, you know, fuck it.
I'm surprised that you can't hear my cuckoo clock in the other room. It's on the opposing wall over here. Whenever it goes.
Wait, Dave's talking?
And har, he's in bed. That old man went to bed at 7 o'clock.
That's funny.
Him and the dogs, they're all in there.
Right. I'll tell you what, man, after this stint of work, I'm ready for 7 o'clock bedtime.
Are you on second shift? I mean, day shift again now?
I am. I was on third shift, came back to first shift, and then they're like, well, why don't you work this next weekend with the overtime stuff for the stuff that I do during the day, and we have to run special jobs Saturday, Sunday, and I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Then I looked on there, then I had to work last weekend, and then I looked on the other schedule, and I was scheduled to work this coming weekend. And I kind of got out of that. I was like, anybody want that shit? And they're like, one lady was like, yeah, I'll take it. And I'm like, bet. I didn't want to do that. Well, it's on call for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done on call for everybody for this company in 3 years. I don't know that I can effectively do that without having some kind of documentation and stuff. And nobody had anything for me. So somebody took it. I think they took pity on me. They're like, oh, poor sot. We'll take it from him.
I don't miss stuff like that. Now that I'm like retired, sometimes I get bored when I'm not feeling like crap.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping that this summer, this will be the summer that I can start doing things again. Get my health better and my finances better. And I would love to go down to Nashville and visit my friend Katie down there. And I'm making plans in my head to make another trip to England. Well,
shit, if you come through to go to Nashville, you'll pass right by me.
Well, I definitely will stop. Of course, you already know. I go through 65 down there, I think.
More 69. Hmm. So I'm probably... But you go through the east side.
Well, actually, I'll be going to Nashville. We'll go down south. Isn't Alabama more towards?
It's still a little bit further east than where we are. If you were to come down this way, you would take 69 all the way down.
Well, I could do that and then find my way to the next visit. Doesn't matter. I just want to make plans to go and do things and
Right. Well, if you take 69 down and you visit, then you will send you down 41 and go direct down to a junction where you get off on exit, go to Nashville. It's probably an hour and 45 minutes away.
What?
Nashville. Yeah. About an hour and 45 minutes. Away
from us. Hi, D.
Deb says hi.
Hi.
I haven't seen her in forever.
I know. You know, 10 years.
You remember when you guys came to the farmhouse?
Yes.
And she brought some kind of dessert, and my son still talks about it.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
I think it was the Oreo.
It was.
The mud pie, something. I think they would call it. Yeah.
He still talks about the dessert.
No shit.
Yes.
We haven't had that in a long time. It sounds really good to get, though. We should have some mud pie, that Oreo cookie dessert. Remember when we went to go see Deb and we took that Oreo cookie dessert thing? She says her son still talks about it. That was 10, 15 years ago. Right?
He still talks about it. Yep. He's a connoisseur.
It is good. If I even talk about it, my blood sugar spikes up about 20 points. That was some sweet stuff.
So we don't have a guest tonight because I'm a slacker. And I didn't get the emails out. So you're all stuck with us tonight. And we're just going to.
Well, I mean, come on. I didn't
shoot it.
move much either. So
this is what we used to do. I mean, this was our show before. We never hardly ever had guests before. And we always, you know, would have really good shows because we have fun. You were just telling me a minute about, you were telling me about this thing that you're getting ready to go to next weekend. And it sounds pretty cool.
Actually, it's a month from this Saturday, so it's Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. My bad.
And it's not, you know, it's not Ladies of the Night, so don't. Don't get the horror con name mixed up with that. You know, not it's horror, not whore.
Horror.
Right.
That second R is really important. Horror.
You must roll your R on that one. Wait,
I can do that.
Let's not roll any R's. It's going to be a good event. Boonville, Indiana Paranormal Society, who's the ghost hunter team that I'm with, we got a panel spot on Sunday at noon. And we're going to do a little panel for everybody and talk about, you know, ghost hunting and the ins and outs and do's and don'ts. And my camera's sliding all over the place. I'm moving my camera. I'm trying to find a better angle for my camera because I don't want you to look up my nose every time.
Have one angle because my camera is like attached to the monitor of my computer. And I'm short. I've jacked my chair up all the way and you still barely see me.
Yeah. Yeah. But the HorrorCon thing is, it's going to be interesting. The little black kid from Sandlot, who's done a couple of horror films. Actually, let me pull up the site because I don't want to offend anybody and say stuff wrong. Because you know that's kind of how it goes. Let's see. But there's going to be like quite a few. Oh, here we go. Celebrities there. I'm really excited. That Jason Hawes and the girl that he is investigating with now on the team. I'll get her name in just a second. Are going to be there Saturday, Sunday. Here we go. I'm on it. I'm here.
Yeah.
Never fear. Greg is here. Let's see. The Bam Margera or whatever from Jackass is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Ghosts, right? Jason Hawes and Sherry Debondetti. Debondetti.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's going to be there. So it's him and her. It would have been cool to see Steve or
how do you say him? Gonzalez or something like that.
Gonzalez or, oh, look at my cameras. Fuck, damn it. So anyway, Brian Krause, who played the warlock guy on Charmed. Remember Charmed?
Yeah, I never watched it, but I know what it is. I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah, he played Theo. He's going to be there.
Man, that's a bit. They got a lot of big names there.
Sean Whalen, he was in Twister. He was the guy that wore the little nerdy guy.
Yeah,
but he's done some like Halloween 2, Rob Zombie film 3 from Hell, People Under the Stairs. He's going to be there, and Brandon Adams, who was in the Sandlot, Mighty Ducks. He did People Under the Stairs as well. He's going to be there. Jan Birch, who People Under the Stairs, Terror Tales, Slumber Party Massacre 3. Dan Spiri, he's a shock illusionist. That'll be interesting.
What's that?
But yeah. A shock illusionist, like stick things through your skin and weird stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested, it's going to be on March 2nd and 3rd at the Old National Events Plaza here in Evansville. If you're in the area, single day tickets are $15. Weekend passes are $20. So it's going to be
price too.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That's, that's a lot of big names and that's a good price. That's cool. Right? We just give them a good plug. You guys, what are you guys going to do there? What's Boone Paranormal going to do?
We are going to be doing a panel. So basically we'll have our table set up on stage and we'll talk about the paranormal and take questions and answers and do that for an hour. So
cool.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
You going
to
take
any reason to talk to paranormal?
Yeah. You're going to take some pictures or some EVPs and stuff to show.
I'm not sure. I know that we're having a team meeting next Saturday where we're going to be discussing kind of our game plan for what we want to do. Kind of, you know, is this an idea of something that we want? Do we want to take EVPs? Do we want, you know, is there going to be a setup to where we could even show pictures?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find all that out Saturday.
Well, that's going to be fun. That sounds like
I said, I mean, I've talked to Jason once before on a radio show. And that
he would be a great guest to get.
I know, right?
See if you can get him to be.
I'll talk to him about it.
He probably charges. I don't know. Do they charge?
I don't think so. I know he's got you know, I just found this out. He has a YouTube channel.
Cool.
He's got, I found out some dirt too. And we'll talk about that in just a second.
I love
tea. But right. But he, I mean, I talked to him. It was when Grant and him were still doing stuff together. And this was before I even met you. So this is old, old, old school. And this is before I even started Circle City Paranormal Exploration or even, you know, Angie and I talked about starting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him about the paranormal and getting a group started and what kind of research and stuff that needed to be done. And so it was kind of interesting. And now, you know, it's kind of where we are now versus where we were then. And maybe have a little bit more intelligent conversation with him versus then how do you do this? You know,
yeah,
GTFO, bro.
Yeah. We got some miles under our belt now. So,
right.
He's been doing it. That was the first paranormal television show that I ever watched. And I don't know. There's a lot of them they're still on that I think are whatever, but I always liked Ghost Hunters in the beginning because they seemed to, you know, to be more real or more legit. And although, and they were right up front, when you go on an investigation, you better be ready to be bored out of your mind and drink a lot of coffee so you don't fall asleep, because it doesn't happen like on the TV shows where it's just like, there's one thing. Oh, then there's another thing. Oh, there's another. You're watching, you're getting an hour, you know, you're getting 40 minutes of edited stuff that probably took 8 hours or 9 or 10 hours to film. And there's a lot of dead air in the middle. You got to really have a passion for this to do it.
Yeah.
And keep doing it, you know, because it ain't like it is on TV. I've been on plenty of investigations where we had nothing. We had nothing when we were there. We found nothing when we went over all of our video and audio. So, but you know, so you got to have that little extra something inside of you that drives you to keep going back and doing it. And
back to the same location.
Yeah. And I felt like that Jason and Steve and those guys, they had that. Plus, I love that Steve was scared of spiders. Oh my God. Every time they made him go in the basement, he saw a spider.
I just watched an episode today where there was a spider and he was like, yep, nope.
Nope. Yep.
He's like, I'm not going in there. Nope.
God love him. Didn't they go to a castle or something one time over in England or in Ireland, and Steve wouldn't go because he was scared of flying?
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed home. I believe I recall that. I totally could relate to him. I do fly. I've flown a lot. I've flown, you know, to other countries, but I do not like it. I said, I hate flying. If I get, you know, first I got to take a Xanax or something to get on the plane, and then taking off, I'm saying prayers and Hail Marys and all
really?
That.
Really?
My family's Catholic. I'm not. But I'm still, I'm still doing it because I, you know, because in my mind,
Catholic by association.
it rubbed off on me. But in my mind, though, see, I understand aerodynamic and lifts, and I still don't understand how 50,000 pounds of metal can be 30,000 feet in the air with nothing under it. Okay. And I know that going up and coming down are the most dangerous parts of a flight. Most of the time, you know, so going up and coming down, I actually really, really hate. Once I'm up there, as long as we don't have a lot of turbulence, what I do is I kind of get in my head that I'm on a bus. I don't look out the window very much. And I kind of convince my subconscious that I'm actually on a bus. So when we do have a little bouncy turbulence, I'm like, oh, that's a chuckle. Oh, it's chuckle.
Okay,
you know, I know it did, but it works by golly. And then when it's time to land, I can tell that we're going to land pretty soon before they announce it, because I can feel, I'm so sensitive to everything around me. I can feel the plane descending. I can feel us losing altitude, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And then that 5 seconds before the wheels hit the pavement, you know, There's some pilots that are smooth as butter, and it's like, oh my God, and there are other ones that are like, bam, we down. And I'm like, no,
right.
And I'm kissing the ground as soon as I get out of that plane. You know, no, I do not like to fly. When I went to England, when I flew to England that time, I had to fly over the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And, it's like when I went to Brazil, I didn't have to fly over that much ocean because, you know, South America and North America are kind of connected. There was a little bit. But when I went to England, you had to fly all the way over to the other side of the pond, right? And for months before that, I kept having this nightmare that my plane crashed in the ocean. But the nightmare wasn't that I died. The nightmare was that I survived the plane crash, and I'm floating around in the black ocean hanging on to some piece of debris that floats in the dark, in the black. And that's my nightmare.
Oh, God.
FYI, that movie. You know that movie that came out a few years ago about the people? I could not watch that. I saw the previews.
And Destination?
I can't. No, whatever it was, this movie was about people that were adrift in the middle of the ocean. That was the whole movie.
I know with that.
No, I saw that preview and I'm like, oh, I can't even watch the preview. No.
Right. That was like a movie where the people were left out in the ocean. They were on a scuba diving tour. And somehow they got left out in the ocean and the sharks ate them and whatnot.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not scuba diving. You know, it's kind of like my whole ideology with snow. Snow is beautiful to look at on my computer screen or on TV, but I don't necessarily want to be out in it. You know what I'm saying?
I love snow.
No.
Yeah. But you know, horror movies and stuff, it's funny because look what I do. I go on paranormal investigations. I go ghost hunting, whatever you want to call it. Right. You know, I've had all kinds of weird stuff happen to me, both UFO wise and ghost wise. But yet, all my life, I have watched one scary movie in my whole life. One, you know, slasher or whatever. And it was The Exorcist. And I did not sleep for a year after that.
Right.
Because something in me kept saying that could happen.
See,
but again, that's a Catholic in me. I, you know, by proxy, you're rubbing off.
Let me tell you about this. Now, The Omen.
Yeah.
The Exorcist. I mean, even somewhat the Amityville Horror, but more so the religious horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch them.
Mm-mm, me
I can't.
Either.
There's just, that's just like, to me, it's just, I don't know. You're inviting that shit.
Yeah. Here's the
thing.
You know
what I'm saying?
My kids were little and growing up, in even as teenagers, I don't know what they did when they left the house, you know, and I wasn't around, but in my house, the rules were, we didn't watch that stuff. We never had that on the TV. I didn't allow my kids to watch it. I didn't watch them. And I told them it was because I did not want that image, those images or those thoughts or those ideas, even in their head, even in their subconscious, so that it could somehow turn around and come back and harm them later. I didn't even want that in their head. And I also didn't allow them to eat jawbreakers or chew chewing gum because I was afraid they were going to choke. And I cut their hot dogs up in teeny little pieces. But anyway, I digress. I never watched those horror movies, and I never let my kids watch them because I didn't want the images. I thought life is scary enough. Why should I add more shit to the fire, you know? And the one I did see, I didn't consider it a horror movie. It was more of a thriller, which was The Sixth Sense. And I swear to God, I did not realize that he was dead until the last 4 minutes of the movie. I didn't even catch on. And when I finally did, I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. You know, it wasn't scary anymore. But I mean, that's a psychological thriller. Like the movies and Saw and all that gross shit. No. Yeah.
I think that in the horror genre, that the religious angel demon possession thing, that just it's just too much of a possibility.
That's right.
You have to happen. I mean, I feel like it's crossing a line. And even if you go back now and you search like things that have happened on the sets of these movies, it's just not right. There's something not right. That means you shouldn't be doing this film.
You're
homie.
Stirring up some negative energy there.
Right. You know? We need to just not be associated with this film at all.
Don't do that. Why you want to do that? Yeah. No. If I were an actress, 100%. I would not. I don't care how much money you offer me. I would not accept any roles in a movie like that. I would rather work at Walmart than take a role like that. No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I would not. You might, maybe, but not me. No, I'm a wuss.
Yeah, I don't know. Even if you like Poltergeist, I didn't mind watching Poltergeist. It was a scary movie. But the things that went on behind the scenes of the movie, I mean
that Dominique little girl Dunn died.
Was murdered.
And the little
Dominique
girl
Dunn,
died.
The older sister, she was killed by a stalker. The little girl died of some kind of freak disease.
Some bowel misarrangement or misalignment or something that she was apparently born with that they didn't catch
right
away or something. It's like,
you know, and I wonder now, I might have to do a little research on this. I wonder how many times weird things have happened to the actors of these horror movies. I know Linda Blair has had experiences because of that movie. They were having problems on set. The same with the Damien Omen movies. They were having problems on set with that. There was more extreme on that set from what I understand. But my whole thing is why don't.
Why? Yeah, there's other things. There's other ways to be entertained without stirring up a bunch of negative stuff.
I mean, I'm not even a big fan of The Shining. You know, I thought it was a scary movie, and it's more of a psychological thriller with a little ghost stuff in it. But I just,
like I've said before, I said it last night when I was being interviewed by some folks. And I've said it in other interviews when I've been asked, I believe that our minds are powerful. I believe human beings are powerful creatures. We're powerful beings that our minds can create situations, you know? And it's another reason why I didn't want to put those negative images and that ugliness in my mind, because I know how powerful we can be, you know? Yeah. And I personally, I know I've thought of things and I've manifested things. I know I have. My problem is I have no control over what happens. I mean, it'll either happen or it doesn't. I mean, I've had spectacular results in some areas, and then other times I've tried to do it and nothing happens. You know, I need to learn control. But that's the other scary part, that having me watch horror movies is like, you know, giving somebody with Parkinson's disease a loaded gun with clip off or whatever, because I just wouldn't be able to control whatever came out of my head, and I want to make sure that I'm in control. So
you'd be paranormal Tourette's.
Why you gotta do that to me when you see me take a drink? I'm gonna get you back. I'm gonna get you back now. See, look, you're trying to kill me. Oh my gosh.
That was weird. Something popped on my desk.
What did?
Something popped.
See, it was my mind. I threw something
at you. Was trying to get, you missed. But yeah, the horror con, I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm looking forward to talking with Jason. I'm looking forward to doing the panel because I'm a ham, and you know I like to get in front of people and talk shit. So that's going to be good. So yeah.
I don't have anything scheduled for this year at all. And probably won't. I think I'm invited back to Michigan in September, which is a great conference up at Houghton Lake. Yeah. I believe I've been invited back. I want to confirm that before I say anything. Well,
You showed your ass pushy when you was up there last time. Like, we ain't having her back.
But other than that, no. And honestly, you know, I don't know. You know, I feel
you need to start doing stuff in the South.
Where it's warm.
So when you come by down this way, then we can go and do it. And then you can drop me off on the way, boy, and I can drop you away. I'll drive and then you can drive back.
You don't want me to drive. We already went there before.
Right? No. So we went to, where was it? Down Bobby Mackey's.
Bobby Mackey's.
Wherever Newport, Kentucky. I think that's where it's at. Had a good investigation. You know, when they say it's the portal to hell, they're lying to you and they're just trying to make money.
That's bullshit. But yeah.
They've actually closed down for renovations, and I don't know that they're going to be doing, paranormal investigations when they reopen. But for one, they needed to do some renovations because that was one wore down place. The ceiling was sagging and shit. Yeah.
It was
rough. But I mean, going to the bathroom in that place, it was kind of sketch because you felt like somebody was watching you. And
I definitely felt like someone was watching me, and the door did some weird shit when I was weird in things. There. And,
yes.
Yeah. There was something there, but I don't think it was evil.
No, I don't either. Uh-huh. Maybe mad, but not evil. But anyway, we're driving, right? So we're driving.
You're driving my car.
Right. Thank God.
I didn't want to drive because I'm a puss when it comes to driving.
You were driving for a little bit.
I did drive for a little bit, but then I think you
drove during the day. Did we drive back that night?
I don't know, but
we were on the
spaghetti bowl and I almost gave you a heart attack.
Yes. I literally almost pissed myself. You're like,
just pull over and I'll drive.
I'll drive. Just stop. I don't care if you stop in the middle of the highway right now and we do a Chinese fire drill. You got to let me behind the wheel. But we on the way back, we did drive back because I remember stopping at that little donut choke and puke on the way back and us loading up on sugar and stuff to drive the rest of the way home. Yeah. Wow.
And my car acted up And I thought, well, we get all down there die.
For the love of God. It's a brand new car. So what the hell could happen, right?
I mean, like it had 25 miles on it. I just got it at the dealership and just rolled off the lot.
We get to Bobby Mackey's and that son of a bitch won't start back up. Mm. We're a long way from home. And yeah. Your car.
We're $1,000 away from home on a tow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was scary. Then it fired up, didn't it? It just started by itself.
It was so weird. It just, I thought, I'm going to go out and try it one more time before we have to find an alternate way to get home. And
right.
By God, I turned the key and it came on. And you know what it was? We found out later, I got to give Ford credit where credit is due. Even though I got me a lemon, they made right by me, got it back up there, got it into the dealership. They actually, they couldn't find anything wrong. And they actually brought an engineer down from Detroit and put him in a hotel for the weekend. And he spent all day, Saturday and Sunday, with the mechanics taking that car apart. And they found the fuse box up under the hood. There was an open in the security system. So what was happening is, reason we couldn't turn it on was because the security system was preventing it from being turned on. It was some kind of security lock thing. And it was either a short or an open. I believe it was an open. So they replaced all of that. And because it's electrical and, you know, and I made this comment to them and they were good about it, because it's an electrical issue. I mean, it could have damaged something down the line, you know, right. Another power control module or something down on the line with this wonky, electrical stuff. Yeah. So they replaced all the modules, all the wiring harnesses, the whole fuse box and everything. They replaced it all at no charge. And then they gave me, and it was great. And then they gave me a 10-year bumper to bumper warranty on top of the already 5-year warranty that it came with. They added another 10 years to it and included all the electrical and anything connected to electrical, as well as the drivetrain, the engine, the transmission, everything.
Right.
They gave that to me on that vehicle for all the trouble that I had gone through. And I'll be a son of a bitch if 2 months later or whatever, the tornado came, wrecked my house, totaled that car and screwed up my entire life. But I mean, because that was my favorite car in the whole world. It drove like a dream. It was the Ford Escape, but it was the last year that they had the boxier style, which I like better. It's bigger.
Right.
And it was comfortable. It was the fancy one with the leather heated seats. And I had the bells and whistles in this thing. It was a fabulous car. It was my favorite car I ever had. And Ford did do right by me, you know. And when I talked to the dealership guy, I'm like, look, I worked for GM and my husband worked for GM and we buy Ford cars. So what does that tell you? And he goes, honey, I can't buy that kind of publicity. He said, I can't buy that kind of endorsement, you know. I wrote this really nice letter to them all for everything they did for me. And they had it framed in their dealership for a long time. So they did right by me. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah. But that car was cursed.
I took it to Bobby Mackey's right out of the gate. What do you expect?
That car was cursed. I mean, it might have been all the bells and whistles and whatnot, but it was doomed from the factory.
Well, it's all bare. It's.
Do you still own a Ford?
Yeah, I do. You know why? Why? Because their Ford family discount was better than GM's. I'm gonna get. It's a good thing I don't work there no more. People fire me. No, right. I'm thankful for my 15 years of service there, and it was a good job. And you know, I couldn't afford their cars, but
right, yeah.
I mean, I worked for them, but I couldn't afford to buy a new car from them because they were too expensive. But you know, that is what it is. But I have an Edge right now, and I absolutely love it. My husband's favorite car. Little? No, it's an SUV, but it's like more aerodynamic than the Explorer. It's kind of like, it almost looks like a hybrid between a an SUV and a sedan in a way. It's super comfortable and it's big inside.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, my husband's 6'3". He used to be 6'4", but he has plenty of room.
He's old and he's shrinking.
He's all shriveled up now like me. But yeah, I like it a lot. It's very comfortable and it gets good gas mileage for a big car. You know, I actually bought a dining room table and four chairs off of Facebook Marketplace not too long ago. And I literally got it in the back of this SUV.
had to
take the top of the table off. And it looked like Jenga game by the time I was able to shut the lid. But by God, I got it in
there. But it was in there.
It was in there, man. And when I rolled into the driveway with him, my husband's like, how in the hell did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. But I did it. I guess where there's a will, there's a way.
Right.
And I really wanted this table. So, but yeah, it's been a good car. So, and we're talking good about cars on a paranormal podcast.
Yeah, you know.
This is what we do when it's just the two of us.
This is just a show. It doesn't have to be labeled.
No. Just like it's like the whatever, it's the alphabet soup night. It's alphabet soup night. That's what we'll call it.
There you go.
It's alphabet
soup. Hey.
Oh yeah.
The dirt. Ooh.
Oh yeah. You said you had some tea. Spill it.
There was an episode of Ghost Hunters where they were at some hotel and Jason's daughter and boyfriend were investigating with them. And they got accused of faking evidence.
Jason?
No, his daughter and boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see it, but I mean, there's videos and videos on it. I started down the rabbit hole trying to figure out what the hell they were talking about. I didn't necessarily see it, but wasn't there. So, you know, you can't really speak on it. But this English guy or Scottish guy did like a expose video. You know how they do on YouTube. We're trying to stir up shit. And Jason responded to it. He said he called the dude, got in contact with him, and they had a long conversation about that. And Jason was basically coming clean on his video saying, you know, I didn't see it. I don't know if they did or they didn't. But the remarks that he had made prior to this video he was making, he was defending his kid.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Every parent would.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong. And they started talking. The guy that was making the video, the Scottish guy, was talking about when they were at their 24-hour special event that Ghost Hunters did that one time at some kind of fort. That Grant had his hood pulled behind him. Right?
I think I watched that.
Yeah.
That live stream or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he had some kind of mechanism in his coat pocket and he pulled on it or whatever, hit something, and it made the collar go down. Well, Jason really checked out Grant's hood and really tried to figure out what the hell was going on. Didn't find anything. Well, it was shortly after that show that Grant kind of stepped away from Ghost Hunters. And speculation was that, you know, he was fabricating this and that, and nothing he was doing was for real, and which isn't true. I mean, I don't know, but anyway, apparently after that show, they stepped away from Pilgrim, I think, production. It was just, you know, taking a hiatus from doing the shows, and they were producing their own show. But they weren't having any say on what was being aired.
And yeah. Cause they went away for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. A long time. And then TLC came back to them, asked them to come back and do the show again. And they agreed to, and Grant decided that no, he wasn't going to come back. I guess 2 weeks later, he signed on to another network for a show, a paranormal show on his own without Taps.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I liked Grant.
Right.
Wasn't he a musician also? So, or something like
yeah.
that. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and, but mm-hmm. yeah, I'm surprised that he was
right.
being sketchy.
And then Jason also said that when they first approached them to come back to do the show was with a different network, not the one that they went with and started filming in. Mm-hmm. They just wanted Jason and then was going to have Jason basically lead a team of different investigators on each episode, I think yeah. is what it was, mm-hmm. on the show. And he told him, no, that, you know, I'm going to do it with Taps. I want my guys with me. I trust, I know, I'm comfortable with my guys. I don't want to do it with anyone else.
Huh.
So they agreed to that and brought everybody back. And that's when Grant decided, no, I'm not going to do it. And then signed to that other network for that other show. Wow. It's like unexplained. I just saw the name of it. Unexplained Files or something like that was the show that mm-hmm. he went to. I think they're still in production, as a matter of fact.
I haven't seen it on TV.
Yeah. It was on YouTube. The video I saw was on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It was posted about 5 months ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure if they're still filming it or whatnot. But he was just kind of like, you know, I'm done with you. I'm going to do my own thing. And I guess Jason aren't friends anymore over it.
Huh. Is Taps still a thing? Taps still a group? Are yeah. they?
Yep.
I bet yep. they're huge now.
Oh, I bet they've got a lot of Tap family members
hundreds of them, probably all over the place. I kind of miss being in a group. You know, up here, I really had a ball when you guys came up here and we went to the Davis house.
Yeah.
That was fun. Even for my old ass to stay up late. I should have brought my coffee with me, but I would like to do it again with you guys sometime for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, yeah, that'll happen. It'll happen.
I have to get my ducks in a row up here, you know.
Right.
Because getting old ain't for the faint-hearted, so... I got to make sure I'm not going to get somewhere and fall apart.
Right. Yeah. Cause I don't know that I could pick you up and walk you to where you needed to go.
Or you might need picked up.
Right. Right. No kidding. I try to pick you up and then everyone needs to pick us up.
And then we both need one of those front loaders.
Right. I have to pull a trailer behind my car with the skid steer on it just to make sure that we don't fall over.
Oh my God. Yeah, but I do. I mean, you know, once you do it, you just, it's in your blood and it's forever, you know?
Yep.
It's just like the UFO stuff for me. When I stepped away after my late husband died, I'm like, I can't deal with anything right now. I just need to focus on my kids and myself and, you know, and, no, that didn't happen. It's a part of me. And if I resist, the universe would drop kick me back into it with something. So I just said, okay, I give up. Here I am. And the same thing with mm-hmm. here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really happy that we're doing this again, this here. And the work that you've done, the website I checked out today, you just been tweaking it up. We are like in a flux state right now. We're in a state of flux. We're in, just like you said earlier, even though we did this 10 years ago for, you know, 8 years or 5 years or whatever, we're basically starting all over again because we had such a big gap. Technology has changed so much. Software's changed so much. We've changed, you know, we got older, but, the website, you guys got to go check out Midwest Paratalk, the website. It really looks great. And, I got some ideas for, you know, posting, links to our videos on there and, you know, little bios about the guests that we had, all that stuff. It's going to be fun. Right. It's going to be cool.
On the studio page, if you go and you can, those, the Spotify and the Apple and the Podomatic and the Amazon links all link to the podcast. The YouTube icon will link directly to our live feed. I'm still trying to work out how to use WordPress because, like Deb said, it's been a long time and the technology has changed a little bit since, you know, we've really done anything like this. But it, I'm looking on how to do the actual live feed video link window. So when you pull up the page, it's already on the live page. So you don't have to, you know, click a couple times to get to us live. You can actually just click on it and there it is. So I'm working on that.
It's great. I love the way it looks. It's different than we had before. I was telling you, when we first started this years and years ago, there was probably 10 people podcasting.
Yeah.
I mean, literally there was hardly anybody. And now there's like a bajillion podcasts, but everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a show. Everybody, you know, yeah. I mean, it's like saturated. So, but I think we stand out. We kind of bounce back and forth with each other. We have fun. We're not so serious. And I mean, but we take this seriously. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We take what we do seriously. We love what we do. But we love to have fun doing it too. Cause
if you're not having fun doing it, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah. I would go on investigations with people and we'd have newbies come in and one thing would happen and they'd be all, and they run off screaming. And I would be like, get your ass back over here and sit down. Is this not what you came for? What is wrong? If you don't want to sit here and have this experience, then you all go home and don't come back.
Right. Then you're at the wrong place.
Yeah. You don't need to be doing this.
And that always made me laugh too, because you're here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell investigators that now all the time still. You know, you don't, if you're an actual investigator, you don't run away from something, you run towards it. You know, it's like being a cop. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cops will run towards the danger and not away from. But the same was kind of the same with paranormal. I mean, that's why you're there.
When all the weird stuff was happening to me UFO wise, one of the ways that I dealt with something that scared me because I didn't understand it was knowledge. Knowledge is power. So I started reading about it as much as I could once I got the go ahead from Bud, you know, and that's how I ended up being an investigator for MUFON. But I'm not a scientist. I am first and foremost an experiencer. Always will be, always have been. Whatever research or, you know, investigations I've done is minimal. There are people out there that know way more about things than I will ever know. And at this point, I don't think my brain can soak much more up. But, you know, so I bow to the people who are doing the big study, the big guns and the scientists and all that stuff. I actually am in some groups, some chat threads of some of the smartest people I've ever seen in my life. And I have no idea what any of them are saying. Ooh, it just goes right over my head, but I still enjoy seeing it and reading it. I don't know, hopefully something seeps into my subconscious, but, you know, there's a lot of really smart people out there now. There are a lot of people out there, not that we weren't smart, but I mean, there's a lot of really good, deep research, almost journalists and researchers, you know, and I don't feel like I'm in that category. I'm, like I said, I'm an experiencer, number one, always was, I'm always will be. And that's the thing that I can talk about with confidence because I lived it, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm lacking in so much knowledge and things that I should know, names that I should know at this point. And I'm still clueless half the time, you know? So
the thing is, I think with the field, both fields right now, it's just, it expanded so much during our lengthy hiatus.
Yeah.
And doing podcasts and doing live videos about these topics went from being a taboo subject from when you and I were doing it in, you know, 2008, 2009, right? At the time, we probably could have been considered, you know, I mean, who knows?
Fringy nut bags.
right, you know. But now I think it's more mainstream. And the History Channel, man, if you watch the History Channel for, say, 2 hours, it's either UFO stuff or paranormal stuff. Mm-hmm. If you watch it for three, then you see Josh and his people chasing down, you know, the chupacabra or whatever kind mm-hmm. of thing that he's doing now. And, you know, then you turn it over to ID. Then it's all paranormal stuff. You turn it over to the Travel Channel. It's all paranormal stuff.
Yeah. Skinwalker Ranch.
Right.
Oak Island, so, you know.
You know, talking about these particular topics are no longer shied upon. Whereas, you know, you got the guy with the crazy hair on every 15 minutes on every channel you turn on.
I love
talking
him.
About alien Giorgio. Ass probes. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on, bro. It's kind of scary. Come on. But no, I mean, for real. And I think that's awesome that it's like that. But like you said, I mean, it wasn't like that when we first started doing any of this. You said earlier, we used Skype to video chat with each other. Then we had to use a third party software to record, to put it out live. I mean, it was
before, you know, when we first started, it wasn't even video. You know, Midwest Paratalk Radio, because we were radio. Right. I kind of missed, because it was kind of nice to be able to sit here looking all wrecked up in my pajamas. But now I got to comb my hair and put on some
makeup
so I don't scare the kids.
You could always do this. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you, because I thought about that a couple times. I've looked at myself in the camera and went, oh, shit.
I do that every time I look at the camera, the mirror. But, you know, yeah, so it has really changed a lot since we were first here. I'm going to be hitting up all my friends out there. Y'all, a lot of you kind of pick up the podcast and listen to it, you know, later. And so I'm warning you right now, I'm going to be hitting you up. You're going to get an email from me. You want to be a guest? I got these dates open.
Right. StreamYard has a beta program that they're using right now where you can set up a search parameter to have them ping guests that they find that it is aligned with what broadcast you're doing.
That's weird. So, but I'd rather have a guest that I'm familiar with. So yeah. I can ask them questions that make some sense, you know, or formulate questions that I think that the people who are listening would ask or want to know, you know?
Right.
And sometimes that's not always the standard question too, you know. I loved how Peter Robbins does his Meanwhile Here on Earth. We did a whole show one time. I was a guest, but instead of the standard, you know, tell me about your UFO experience, tell me about intruders, tell me about, but he's like, tell me about you.
Yeah.
What were you like as a kid? What kind of things did you like to do? What's some of your fun family memories that you had growing up? What other kind of tell me some things about you that we don't know, you know? And I thought that is just freaking brilliant. That's the kind of interviewer that I want to do. That's what I want to be. I want to be like that. I want to get people to feel comfortable enough with me that they'll tell me stuff, you know? And I don't want to trick somebody into saying something on air they don't want to say, but I just want somebody to be comfortable enough with me that they can feed themselves and, you know, feel comfortable to answer questions. Like if I say, you know, did you know what is a memory that you have from a childhood that really sticks in your mind, that really, you know, that made it, what person did you meet in your life that really made an impact on you and why, you know? So I can get to know the person. I don't know. That just sounds weird. I think maybe, I don't know.
Well, that's no, I mean, it's the interview style where basically you sit down on a big comfy couch and you just shoot the shit.
Like we're doing right now. It's like, right? Greg, what got you interested in paranormal? What started your whole journey there, my friend?
One time in band camp.
No, not that.
Sorry. Wrong story. Truthfully, I mean, it always, I was born with it.
A lot of people know a lot about me. We don't know hardly anything about you. So I'm going to be the interviewer.
Okay. Well, 6 or 7 years old, I was laying in the bed. I heard something at the window. My bed was right up against the window. I heard something at the window. I didn't know any better, so I looked. Yeah, it could have been a burglar or whatever. And I don't know. I'm stupid. I'm six. Green eyes are looking back at me. And it was, you know, you could argue, well, it was a cat. Well, the space between the eyes were wider than a dog's head.
Wow.
And that kind of was like, okay, what? And I think that kind of stuck with me. And then until, I was 31 when I had my first adult, my knowledgeable adult experience. Grandfather just passed away. We were at his wake and funeral that day. I get home. I was living in my parents' basement. Typical nerd stuff, you know.
I was
20-something years old. I was living in parents' basement. I would play video games. You know. But I'm laying there, and it was at the foot of the bed. We didn't have any animals at the time. Jack and Jan are upstairs getting ready for bed. But I'm laying there in bed, pitch dark, no lights, no radio, no nothing, just kind of laying there in my thoughts. And the foot of my bed lifts up and drops. And I'm like, yeah, okay. That was pretty interesting. And to me, that was my grandfather saying goodbye. But what intrigued me about it is how. Like, how did that happen? Why did that happen? What were the elements of nature that caused some shit like that to happen? And then the house that we were in at the time, the lady that I worked at Osco Drugstore on 38th and High School Road in Indianapolis as a teenager through high school up until my 20s. I was there for a long time. But the house that we lived in, when I first started Osco, I worked with a lady named Millie, and she was an old crotchety bitty. She was angry at life and at the world, and she hated everybody. But when my parents decided to move from the house that I grew up in into a new house closer to the west side, they bought Millie's house. And Millie's husband, they took him out and put him in a home because he had fell off the roof and broke things and couldn't. He was trying to clean gutters or something, fell off the roof, hurt himself. He couldn't take care of himself, and she couldn't take care of him. Put him in a home. Shortly after that, she had an accident where she fell down the stairs or some kind of business, and they put her in a home. Well, she died in the nursing home. So mom and pops buy the house. We get all moved in and everything. So at this time I quit Osco, started working for HP Products, which is a cleaning product, industrial cleaning product company on the Northwest side. So I'm driving home. I get home. It was second shift. So it was probably 2:30 in the morning. I get to the house. I get out of my car. I parked on the street. I'm starting to walk up the driveway, and I look up at the house, and the curtains are drawn back.
Ooh.
They left the living room light on for me, but you can see the curtains are drawn back and there's nothing behind it. And as I get closer to the door, the curtains let go and they fall back in line. I thought that's kind of weird stuff, right? So I'm like, whatever, Millie, she's fucking with me. So whatever. I get in, I open the door, and I can, the hair on the back of my neck standing up from the time that I walk, get into the door on the landing, walk up the stairs, walk down the hall into my room, close the door. Once I close the door, it's just like all the static left my body. So I would hear steps throughout the house. And my dad, my mom was 100% believer on it. She's like, oh yeah, I totally believe that. And my dad was like, bullshit. There's no, you're stupid. You guys are making it up, blah, blah, blah. So one night I get off work early. I come home and I open the door. My old man's coming down the steps with my gun. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I heard something down in the basement. And I'm like, well, okay, well, let's go look. So we get down there. Of course, there's nothing down there. Millie was up to her old hijinks. And then the last story I'll tell you about it. I was working day shift at another place. I'd come home during the day. I was close enough to come home for lunch. So I came home for lunch. I went to open the front door and I turned the handle and the door opened about 3 inches and slammed back on me. I tried to open the door again. I couldn't open the door. There was a force pushing against the door where I could not open the door until I stopped. And my dad and one of the other guys from work were coming home for lunch too. They started to pull in the driveway and I went to open the door again and it opened up. So I kind of waited there and I'm like, hey, this is what happened. You want to walk the house and make sure, you know, with me to make sure nobody's in here. And of course, nobody was in there. And I don't know that he ever really believed that Millie was there and haunting that house, but I 100% believe that she was. And that's one of the reasons why I got peeked into the paranormal. But I don't know. It's just, there's just too many weird things going on at that particular location to not be something paranormal and kind of make me go, So,
you know, to
be
honest,
kind of where it all started
with me. I mean, of course I've always had weird stuff happen, you know, what would be considered paranormal. We didn't really call it that back then. And then UFO stuff, obviously. But when I approached MRIPA, you know, back in 2004 or 2005, something like that. You know, my mother had passed away a few years before that. And then, you know, years before that, my late husband had passed away. And during both of those times, I'd had extraordinary evidence presented to me by them, my mom and my late husband, you know, that we still go on. And I had I'd always talked about how my very first EVP was, you know, like 35 years ago. My nephew and I caught it at the house on Washington Street in Cumberland, You know, the old man's voice really clear that said, are the spirits listening? And then the like kid's voice behind it said, can I listen too? And then I had that epiphany, you know, oh my God, you know, they're there. And maybe we're the ghosts somewhere else and they're hearing us, you know. That's my mind, just one of my veils dropped in my head at that point. But truthfully, after having experienced what I experienced when KO died and then when Mom died, I think that was the final push to the paranormal full on, you know.
Yeah.
The investigative work and all that. And I got super, super interested in EVPs. I'd had been interested in before, but really after that, I wanted to talk to my dead husband and my mom, because I knew they were there and I was going to try and do anything I could to figure out how to do it. So that was like one of the little catalysts for me to push me over. And once I did that, I began to realize that there was a connection between UFO experiences and paranormal experiences. You know, I had myself interviewed during the course of investigations, lots of people who'd had UFO sightings or experiences of some kind with some kind of, you know, off-world life form, wherever they came from, whether it be interdimensional or extraterrestrial. And I realized that those people were also having paranormal experiences, just like my family and I had for years before, you know. And that's when I started thinking that there's something to this. There's a connection here. There is, this stuff is connected.
Right.
Now, at the end of the day, here I am 65 years old, 40 years later. And pretty much the only thing I've been able to definitively, you know is that the common denominator is the person who's having the experience. There's something about the person that's having these experiences that lends to, opens them to this, all this other stuff, the UFO stuff, and then opens them up to the other stuff, you know?
Right.
So I got to wonder, people that report paranormal experiences and ghostly stuff, is there possibly some kind of alien or, you know, off-world intelligence contact that's happened to them and they don't even realize it or remember it, you know? Like, did they have missing time and don't realize it? Did they have contact of some kind with something and don't remember it, you know?
Right.
And so they're only seeing the paranormal side of things now. But it makes me wonder. And that's when I start asking questions when I talk to people that report only paranormal experiences, and I start asking questions, you know, about missing time, or have you ever seen anything weird in the sky, or, you know, something like that.
I didn't start seeing anything weird in the sky until I met you.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not trying to be funny. I honest to God didn't ever start noticing anything out of the ordinary in the sky until I met Deb.
Sorry.
And had these conversations on here, off of here. I mean,
you hang out with me long enough and you're going to see some shit. That's all I got to say. My neighbor, when
seven Black Hawk blacked out government helicopters flying through the air in the same direction that I saw a big triangle UFO in the sky. I mean,
welcome to my wheelhouse.
After I met Deb.
Sorry. I'm telling you, like my neighbor Bridget, when I met Bridget years and years ago in Indy, in Cumberland, and I was a single mom, had an apartment, and I had just moved in. This is weird how I met her. I knew she was a single mom. I had seen her yelling at her kid out in the yard in front of the apartments before. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I yell at my kid too. Anyway. I had a date in my apartment one night and I suddenly had to go to the bathroom really, really bad. And I wasn't about to do it in the apartment with him in there. It was a tiny little apartment and I was mortified. So I said,
hey, can you excuse me? I have to go take a shit for a minute. I'll be right back.
I said, I will be right back. I got to run upstairs real quick and get something for my neighbor, and I'll be right back. And he's like, oh, okay, no problem. I ran upstairs. I knocked on her door, and she's like, hey, girl. And I'm like, I have a date downstairs, and I have to poop. She's like, come on in. So that's how I met her, okay? And we became really good friends. And we still are to this day. But she started having, you know, she knew, I told her about the stuff that was happening, the stuff that had happened at my mom's before, because this was when I moved in there. It was like right after, you know, when I moved out of my parents' house, this was one of the first place I went. And I told her all about that stuff, and she was interested in it, fascinated by it. She had never had anything like that happen before, but she didn't doubt that it could happen to somebody. And she knew me, she liked me. So, one time she woke up in her apartment. Her apartment was above mine. Bedroom was above my bedroom. She woke up and there were like these little hooded guys standing at the foot of her bed, scaring the crap out of her. And then one time, and it's interesting, this her balcony upstairs had the metal railing. I had the little patio downstairs with the privacy fence around it, but she had the balcony above me. And it had a metal railing around it. And one night her metal railing was just shaking and vibrating to beat all the band and making a god-awful noise. And when she went out there, there was nothing there. And it would stop. And when she'd go away, it would start again. And she came downstairs the next day and she goes, I don't know what the hell was going on down here last night, but you need to keep your little friends out. They about shook the balcony right off of my patio out here. And she says to me, you know, and she told me about the little guys with the hoods, the little troll-like guys with the little hooded capes that covered their faces. And she's like, I never saw any shit like this until you moved in. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know? Right. And even when I worked at the VP out in Cumberland, and the cops would come around every now and then and check on us, you know, and my supervisor knew about my weird stuff. And the police chief in Cumberland knew about it. And there were several times when I was working that the black helicopters would fly over the store, and they would literally like fly a circles around the store for 10 minutes. The police the sheriff would stop in and check on me. He'd be like, are you all right? Everything good? And I'm like, yeah, I think. I don't know what's going on. They flew around my house so much when I lived in Cumberland that a couple of times my neighbors called me to make sure we were okay. They thought they were police helicopters and there was something going on at my house. Damn. So I didn't even know what the hell all that was about. And that went on for years, and it finally stopped. And I've seen a couple of them, you know, here lately, but I, I live so close to Grissom Air Base now, so it's kind of hard. I didn't live that close before, but I'll see two or three of them, you know, chugging along over there. But they're not like circling around my house. Back in the day, these little bastards would fly right over my house, freak my kids out, freak my dog out, rattle my windows, get on my nerves, make my neighbors call to see if I'm okay. You know, I have no idea what the... Obviously, it wasn't somebody spying on me, because that's pretty not covert. I don't know if somebody was just jacking with me or trying to intimidate me, and I wouldn't know why, because I, you know, I'm not the kind of person that thinks that I'm, oh, the government's tapping my phone. I mean, they may do that, they may not, but I don't know why they would be. I'm just a regular person that, I don't know. I try not to myself be paranoid, because life's too short. There's plenty of other shit to be paranoid about that's actually really happening. So.
Well, I mean, it's a relief to me to know that I'm not the only one that is experiencing things in the sky from knowing you.
Sorry.
You know, and hang for anyone to think that, right? And anyone to think that the government doesn't know or doesn't listen to anything or everything, your iPhone, your Alexa, Oh wait, my Alexa just went off.
Did it really? Because you said it. No, wait, did you change the name to computer and get yourself? Were you the one that told me that you did that and screwed yourself up?
Alexa, stop. Sorry, Alexa was talking to me.
Oh my God. Were you my friend that told me you changed your, you know, the name Alexa, you know, how you have to say, hey, to Alexa computer. To computer. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
And you changed.
And I had to do that. No. The A word is on my computer, but the C word is over on the wall. Then I have another A word in the kitchen, and I have an A word in our bedroom. Then I have an A word in the exercise room. Damn,
everyone can listen to you. Right? I have a little dot that it came with my Ring doorbell. So I had it hooked up just so I could, it would tell me because somebody's at the door. Yeah. But the other, there got to be people listening to that shit. I mean,
always.
I always say I feel sorry for the guy who had to listen to my phone calls because he was bored shitless or got an earful with me and my girlfriend.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't really work like that. What happens is certain agencies,
alphabets,
right, have sniffer programs that are running that will hit on certain words.
I've heard that.
If you were to say a certain word, then it would start recording that conversation.
Mm. Well, I'd be on my phone blurting every one of them out that I can. And then like, yeah, hey right? guys, what's up? You having fun?
Right. But I mean, anyone to think that somewhere, somebody's not listening. I mean, our phones, our devices, our computers.
One of the things I like about the computer that I have now, I always had a clip-on camera, you know, or like my laptop and all that shit. Now mine goes in to the computer, so I push it down when I'm done.
You mean has a little cover like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, it goes into the computer and you can't see it no more, like this.
Right. Yep, that's how mine is.
I have one of these HP Pavilion things, all-in-one things with the big giant screen because I'm blind, you know. I can see.
Right.
That was my last treat to myself, by the way. I sprung for this new computer. I had a 10-year-old laptop, but it was when I was finishing the book, and I took some of the money that I got from it, and I bought this because I was going to do audio book. You know, and I needed something decent. And I knew I was going to be doing a lot of podcasts and things like that again that I hadn't done for a long time. And I wanted to look like, you know, halfway human and actually not drop off a million times before. You know, because I finally, I'd be halfway through a podcast and my computer would lose the internet twice.
I remember.
And then it would take like, I swear to God, I hated it when I had to reboot my computer because it would take like 10 minutes to reboot.
Right.
It was a dinosaur. So.
Yeah. I would drop. You would drop. There'd be something going on funky with the audio. Or I remember we would start talking about UFO stuff at any given time when we were first doing the show. When we started. I mean, it was 2008, 2009, I think, when we started doing the shows. But we would start talking about UFO stuff and the tech problems that we would incur
and we'd get
throughout EVPs our conversations.
Too. We used to get EVPs, remember?
Yeah.
On the recording of the show, we'd catch an EVP.
Right. Well, I mean, the one I don't know, I'll have to go back through the archives through Pod to see if it's still there, even if I have it on my computer somewhere. But it was, I hope you enjoy your jelly juice or belly juice or whatever it was. And Deb was drinking a beer. And we got that EVP before we even kicked off the intro for the show. I was like, wait, what was that?
I'm like,
so I think the first 10 minutes of the show, we were talking about grabbing an EVP before we did the actual show. So
And
Yeah.
Yeah. And this camera is great. You saw when we first started up, I showed the video on here of the little orb that flew behind me.
Yeah.
Over to the window, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw it with my eyes the first time. And then I scurried to get the camera on and record it and asked it to do it again so that I could record it. And it did. And
it did. It did. That was crazy. Did.
Yeah. So right. I love this whole thing. I do.
Oh yeah.
Even the UFO stuff was scary in the beginning when I was young.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't change a thing because yeah. It's a part of me. It's part of my, it's part of who I am, and it's made me who I am, and I'm okay right. with me. I'm good. I mean, I'm a work in progress, and I will be until I bounce out of here, you know?
Right.
And then wherever I land the next time, I'll be a work in progress, but I'm really yeah. kind of enjoying the.
We'll end up in the same spot doing the same thing we're doing now, just over there.
Probably. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've done this a few times before somewhere else at a different time.
Oh, yeah.
He's my brother from another mother.
You know,
I think we even kind of look like siblings.
We could. For real. Yeah, 100%. We could pass for siblings.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing is like, my dad and I were having a conversation like this Father's Day this year. And the older he's getting, the more in his spiritual feels he's getting. So, and when I say spiritual, more earthbound Native American ideology as far as spiritualism. And like I told him, I'm like, look, bro, I mean, to me, my belief is that this is multiple lives for us. This is multiple existences for us. And your family structure and your friend net structure are the same individuals and friends that you have had in previous lives.
I think we travel in little pods.
Yeah, yeah. So you could have been my mother in a past life. I could have been your mother in a past life. Deanna could have been my sister, my brother, cousin, my dad, this, that, or the other, and so forth and so on. But the people that you meet in your life are not really strangers in your life. I mean, maybe in this life they are until you get to know them, but there's a reason that you meet people. There's a reason that you interact with people, and there's a reason that you know people, even shitty people.
I mean, yeah, but you learn from them. I mean, everybody,
yeah.
I mean, how can you not, you know, you can't recognize good without bad. You wouldn't know what it was. You wouldn't know it was good. You know what I mean? And I'm the kind of person that no matter how shitty somebody looks, I really feel like at least for 99.9% of the people in the world, there's something good about everybody in there. You know, there's something good somewhere in there. Sometimes it takes a little digging to find, but it's there. I'm that way. I look at when I was in California and I walking down Hollywood Boulevard and seeing the people sleeping in the doorways and stuff, you know, people stepping over them and ew and all that. And I'm like, I saw somebody's child. I saw a soul that was broken that just, you know, I wanted to hug and I'm very mothery.
Right. I was thinking more on a more on a sociological type plane where, I mean, I have first impressions. If you don't meet my first impression when I meet you and I feel there's something off with you, you can we're done.
Yeah.
We're
you done. Know, that, now 100%. There's people, there's times when I'd be at Walmart, you know, shopping or whatever, mm-hmm. and just, I will walk by somebody, nobody I know, you know what I mean? But I just walk past them enough that I'm like in their energy and I'm like, instantly recoil and just feel and want to move as quickly away from them as I can. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do that. I don't know what I'm feeling, but
you're empathic. I guess
the compassionate part of me wants to think that there's something good in everybody. It's just digging. But I also realize there are people in this world. I don't know where they come from, but I don't want to know anything about them, you know?
Yeah.
I do. I feel people's energy. I told you this before. It's gotten this way. It's gotten more intense and more accurate as I've gotten older. But it's like, if you walk up behind me and I know you, even though I can't see you, but I'm familiar with your energy, I'll know who you are. Without even seeing you, I'll know, hey, Dave's behind me. But if you walk up behind me and I don't know who you are, I'll recognize that I don't recognize your energy. Because to me, everybody's energy feels unique, like a fingerprint. And I sense the differences, and I don't know how I do it. And it's a combination of thought and physical sensations, you know. Sometimes it's I can smell or a taste in my mouth or a tone in my ear in combination with physical sensations. But whatever it is, you're unique and I recognize you.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that started after the June 30, 83 thing that happened, and it's just gotten
stronger
as I've gotten older. And the more, and I found that with your intuition, with your, these things, the more you trust it, the more accurate it becomes, the more, you know, it'll never trust your gut. It'll never let you down. You're the one it's taken care of.
Oh yeah. 100%. Well, see, I don't like going to Walmart or Target or this wherever, because I get that empathic negative feeling, you know, everywhere. I mean, not all the time, I should say, not all the time, but sometimes it's just like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
I don't like being in big crowds. People, and I think sometimes when I go to these conferences and there's hundreds and hundreds of people there, you know, I hope I don't come across as being arrogant or snooty or anything. I'm shyer. I'm the one that will sit at the back of the room or stand next to the door. And it's not because it's because I'm feeling out the room. I'm trying to feel who's in here and what's up. And you know, I may need to dash quickly to the bathroom or whatever. So I stay by the door, but you know, I'm feeling people out. I'm feeling you, and I'm figuring out, I'm reading the room, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying. And sometimes when there's too many people and there's too much energy, I feel overwhelmed and I'm like bombarded. I have to remove myself to, you know, clear my mind
to and think straight,
feel more comfortable. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but.
Oh, I feel you. Oh, wait, you're saying path and feel.
You're so funny. Oh God.
All right. Well, check it out. We're coming up to an hour and a half here on the show, and I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Who do we have
next week? Let me get my little book. I'm not sure.
Hey, while you're doing that, hold on a second. I got to show you my shirt. Look at my shirt.
PARP net. What does that say?
This is a Diane Fossey Mountain Gorilla Reservation.
Oh, cool.
Place that is in Africa, in the Congo, or in the for the mountain gorillas. And I adopted a gorilla. Well, air quotes adopted. I sent money in and donated to this gorilla. Aww. She's a baby. And then I'm following another gorilla who's in a different tribe in the same area. But Deanna got me this shirt because that's who I adopted the baby gorilla through. So I was pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. I love critters. I love elephants. I love octopus. I love dolphins.
There she is.
Chimps.
Aww. Hold on. Let me get closer.
Maybe. Yeah, I can't see. It's all like a little bit of a blur. Oh, okay. I see her. Aww.
That's her and her mama.
How cute. I don't have anybody on the books for next week, so I got to get busy.
Well, if you guys are interested in being a guest on the show and talking with Deb and myself, you can go over to MidwestParaTalkRadio.com, click on the Contact Us page. That'll directly send your message to me at the MidwestParaTalkRadio.com email address. You see how we roll. The show that you watch tonight is basically how we roll with guests, too. We just kind of talk.
Yeah.
Fill it up. Get to know each other.
If you want, you know, whatever you want to talk about, whatever topics that you want to talk about, if there's some kind of message you want to get across to people that listen, or you just want to shoot the breeze and, you know.
You got something to promote. You want to come on and talk about that. I want to get, remember Brandon Alves? We had him on the show back before we quit. Brandon Alves was an investigator with APRA Paranormal out of California.
Mm-hmm.
And he started investigating the paranormal because his brother passed, or had some deaths in the family. I think his brother, two brothers or something like that.
Yeah.
But he started investigating the paranormal, was heavy into the history of a location and whatnot. He ended up being on Ghost Hunters International.
Nice.
And doing that. Now he's no longer with Ghost Hunters, but he's doing a show, a web show called Haunted Discoveries. And I want to get him on. If he'll come on with us, you know, it might be, you know, too big for us now, but he is a really cool cat though. He's the one that I got the EVP from the Valeska axe murder house with the little girl screaming that just totally kicked me in the gut. But he was a good guy, so I'll reach out to him. He moved to Louisville, so he's only like an hour and 45 minutes away from me.
Nice.
But I would like to see if we can get him on and have him talk about Haunted Discoveries and his time with Ghost Hunters. But again, if you guys are watching the show and you want to come on, if you have something to promote or you just want to, you know, BS with us, then like I said, go over to MidwestParaTalkRadio.com, click on the contact page, and it'll send a message directly to me.
Yep.
So what else do we want to promote? You want to go also go over to debshome.com. You can find all information about Deb there. You can find her book there on the website. You can also go and find her book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Books Million.
And probably you just do a Google search on it and you'll find it everywhere. It's kind of like porn. But
you are so stupid. I swear to God. Okay, then. I need to get an OnlyFans. What is that? OnlyFans.
You need to get an OnlyFans.
I don't know what it's called. I know that people will give me money to keep my clothes on. Maybe.
Right. That's I'm feeling I can probably make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
We'll give you $100 not to do that.
Okay.
I got it. Oh, dang.
Okay. Oh, Lordy. Oh, well. All right. We'll see you next weekend, next Thursday. We'll hopefully have a guest.
Yeah. And if not, well, yeah, we'll have a guest by then. I know we will.
Yeah.
I'll look around. You look around. Of course, we talk during the week. Remember, you guys can catch us on podomatic.com. You can catch us on Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, all of those good things. You can go over to the website and click on the links on the website as well. And we'll catch you guys next Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central.
9 p.m.
Eastern. Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. My name's Greg. Okay, 9 Eastern Central here. And remember, YouTube at MidwestParaTalkRadio.com. So we will see you guys next week. Take care and boo-bye.
Bye. Yeah.